Okay, this is the fourth Wednesday night that I've been on Treasured Kingdom Truths, and I thought I would finish up last week, and I didn't, and no one was shocked about that. But I'm going to pick back up tonight, and here's the truths that I talked about last week. God wants you to know His will more than you want to know it. I'm not going to revisit that. And this one I spent most of the time on because it's a very important truth. It's very important to understand that gifts are given, but fruit is grown. People can operate in the gifts of the Spirit and their heart not be right with God. You see this in the Scripture? It can be very confusion to people. It can cause a lot of delusion. I spoke at length on that last week, so you can go back and listen to that. I think it's really needed because sometimes God may use someone in your life and then something happens and you think, wow, so does nothing count that happened? No. No. I mean, as I shared last week, a lost person can lead you to Christ. And you find out they're lost, that doesn't make you lost because they didn't save you, the gospel did. Jesus did. And so we just have to understand these things. And that what the Lord's design is that the gifts and the fruit, that is the gifts and the character, would flow together. That's the design. That's the perfect will of God. So I want to move on to some new areas tonight, and hopefully we'll cover three of them. And overall in the list, the next one will be number 11. And by the way, if you're here for the first time, this series, I'm just looking back over my 40 years of ministry and pulling before you a few things that across the years I've kind of realize this is really important to remember. And this is one of them. One piece of the pie is not the whole pie. When I was first called to Florence area, I served under Brother Henry Melton as his associate for almost a year before the baton was passed and I became the pastor at Faith Tabernacle Church. And I remember before I became pastor, Brother Henry and I would go visit. We'd do things together. And we were driving down the road, and a topic came up, and I was asking a question about someone, and he began to tell me about someone who had been faithfully involved in church but had gotten under some teaching. And this is the way he said it, and I'll never forget it. He said he took that one teaching and he tried to take that one slice of the pie and make it the whole pie. Everything had to gravitate around that one thing. Now, truth is truth. But in the Scripture, we learn line upon line. When you read a Scripture and it can stand alone on its truth, but you read the Scripture as a whole. Paul said, I shun not to preach the whole counsel of God. Sometimes there are other scriptures that shed light on the scripture that you're holding on to and help you see God's intention for it. You can't just take a scripture and make it say what you want to say. It's kind of like the guy that he just really didn't like women wearing their hair up in a bun back in the day. So he found him a scripture and preached the whole message. Top knot, come down. And he found him a scripture where Jesus said, who is on the housetop, come down. So he twisted the scripture to align with something he wanted to say. And if we are not careful, we'll try to twist the scripture to justify us doing something that many other scriptures tell us we shouldn't do. Sometimes we may try to tweak a scripture to keep us from doing something or keeping a responsibility that the scripture is very clear we ought to keep. So I'm not minimizing any scripture that would stand alone, but I am saying that one piece of the pie is not the whole pie. There is a lot of revelation that we have in Scripture. And that's the reason Paul told young Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who's rightly dividing the word of truth. And so you won't have to be ashamed. And that's a call for us, because if we're not careful, we can use the Scripture shamefully. And what I mean by that is in a way that's displeasing and dishonoring to the Lord, from taking Scriptures and using it as the hammer to browbeat people. You may be saying the truth. You may be telling it just like it is, but the scowl on your face and the anger in your heart and your dislike for people comes through and contaminates people's ability to receive. It's important we don't view one piece of the pie to be the whole pie. Paul said, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare you the counsel, the whole counsel of God. Now let's take even the gospel. Just receive Jesus, just believe in Jesus, and you're saved. Amen. Believe in the call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved, right? But if that's all that you share with someone, they may not have the understanding that the Bible is very clear that God calls all men to repentance. And we know that's part of it, because the Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So that verse tells us that if you don't come to repentance, you're going to perish. Peter said in Acts 3:19, repent therefore and be converted. So repentance precedes conversion. Paul in the book of Acts sums it up by saying how we turn to God from our sins. So there's an element of you recognize that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I have sinned. I am separated from God. And it's more than just like I hadn't had time for him and I hadn't really thought about him. I've never taken it seriously. No, it's more than that. It's that you are a sinful man or woman. Your sin separates you from a holy God. He's made provision for your sins to be forgiven and for you to be reconciled with him. But if you do not repent of your sins, if you're not acknowledging that you have a need, number one, understanding that you need a Savior means that you know you need to be saved, and you need to understand what you need to be saved from. Why do you need to be saved? It's more than just a buddy, Jesus gets you. He is Lord. We are accountable to God. Every knee will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And there's too much of this, in this age of deconstructionism among Christians, where people are just leaving the faith, and this watering down of who Jesus Christ really is. Thank you, sweetheart. And by the way, those of you listening on later, that's my wife. We need to understand that He is the Lord God Almighty. We couldn't take our next breath without Him. Paul was not ignorant of this. That's the reason in places he'd say stuff like this. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. There is a day of judgment and accountability coming. And so we don't need to represent the gospel message by like, do what you want to. If you're saved, it won't matter. No, when you're saved, you're a new creation. Things begin to change. And if you can continue to live in that sin without any conviction whatsoever, then that's an evidence you don't belong to the Lord. Because the Holy Spirit has not fallen asleep at the wheel ever. He will convict of sin. Now, God is long-suffering. He's patient. Don't ever take the patience of God concerning your sin as His permission. That's destructive. Well, it must not be too bad. The Lord's not doing much about it. You may not want to happen what will happen if you just keep spurning the conviction. In my life, I found that, well, I don't really want to deal with that. And then what happens, to use a non-scriptural term, the Lord ups the ante. Just like you do with your kids, right? I mean, as they're growing up, you learn, you realize discipline takes different forms, but it's kind of like, okay, I don't want you to do that anymore. I told you, I don't want you to do that anymore. The next time that you do that, you're going to get a spanking. Come here. You take it to the place where there's really enough pain that they don't want to do it anymore. And if we do that when they're 4 and 5 and 6 and so forth, it's less likely we'll have to go get them out of jail when they're 17, 18, 19. Unless you do it the wrong way and abuse them. Right way to do the right thing. So one piece of the pie is not the whole pie, and particularly when it comes to the things that we believe, somebody can take, and there's constantly, and I'm not saying that people aren't getting fresh insights, and we all do that. You know, Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun, but there's a lot of stuff new for us that we've never discovered or we've never gotten a revelation of or got the understanding of. And you learn that with new believers, that you don't discourage them by saying, oh, I knew that a long time ago. You celebrate with them. I'm so glad you got that. You know, that's wonderful. You're learning. You're growing. Instead of being dismissive or diminishing what they're experiencing. But we're all, Elliot and I were talking today, and that's one thing I was sharing with him that's so important for us to always to be teachable and learning and growing. Because if you're not, you're basically saying, I already know all I need to know. Nobody's going to tell me anything. But it's the ability to receive new information and change that enables us to continue to grow. And we'll never, on this side of glory, grow enough where Jesus looks at us and says, completely done. You know, you leave that one alone, Father. They're good to go. Now, there's always some buffing, shining, sometimes some bundling, right, that God's going to be doing to get us to be more like His Son, Jesus. So don't get a hobby horse on a pet doctrine, and you always have to make everything fit it. I personally think the way the revelation has been given through the Scripture, and the reason sometimes this Scripture says this and the Scripture does that, it's maybe the Lord doesn't want us to come up with these fancy formulas. You do A, B, C, D, you get this. Like then you start kind of controlling God with the Scripture. He wants us to have a living relationship with Him where we're learning His ways. You have His Word, and you have His ways, and you have His will. And it's important to have an understanding of how all of that works together. And as you, the older you, the more you mature in your faith, it's amazing how things that you didn't used to think was really that big a deal become larger, and things you thought were really big deal become smaller. The more mature you become, the more you begin to realize, you know, that little offense, it is not worth what it's going to cost. Yeah, there it is. It came back to me. So be careful about that. That's. Am I going out? Okay. Don't make one piece of the pie the whole pie. Let's just go on to the next one. Time is the friend of truth. This is not an original saying with me by any stretch. I think this has been around a long time. But it's helpful because sometimes you can get frustrated. Like, well, we know what the truth is and that person doesn't. And maybe somebody wants to argue with you or build a case or bring accusations. But when in your heart, when you know what is true, you can trust that across time, if not now, there is a day coming when the light of what's true will be brought forth. Paul in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12, I'll pick up there now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear for, notice that, the day in capital D. The day will declare it because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If not here, then. There is a day where this is the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ for believers, where we give an account with what we've done that we've been given by the Lord, our stewardship, how we've lived our life. And so we're all going to have some of those moments at this day when first of all, I think it's Billy Graham that first said it, we're going to be surprised when we get to heaven and see folks that we didn't think would be there, and there they are. And some folks we're looking for, they're not there, and they didn't make it. Because the Lord's the judge. The Lord sees the heart. But also, we'll see what we've done that stands the test. The motive test, the word test, the spirit test. This day will declare it. But before the day we're talking about right now, there are times when the Lord will bring things into the light. What we've got to remember is to live in the light and walk in the light with our own sin. To be transparent, not to hide our sins. And that's not to say that you put every sin you commit on Facebook. Okay? Let me do a sidebar for just 30 seconds maybe. Don't vomit on Facebook and these social media sites. It's like let me be graphic. When you get sick, there comes a point where you just have to upchuck. But I would encourage, usually what you try to do is you try to find a private place so you can flush it and nobody else has to have to see it or deal with it. It would be very wise when you're about to vomit on social media to remember what I just said and get alone private and try to empty yourself of that and flush it where nobody else has to deal with it. Thank you. Let me get back to this now. I think you got that. Time is the friend of truth. If we'll walk in the light, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood, we have fellowship with one another, first of all. That's our goal. We want to be in fellowship with the Lord and with one another. And the only way that can happen is in the light. He said, if we walk in the light, He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We get the benefits of knowing that we're right with God in our fellowship. There's nothing hindering our fellowship when we know we've been honest with God about our sin. And if it's something that's hurt someone else, by sharing that with them, it helps clear that up to make it so that they don't have to struggle with it. But when we don't do that stuff, then you end up having divisions in church. And I know I say it quite often, but let me remind every one of us here. Jesus Christ is the head of this church. He is the head of the church. And we as spiritual leaders, yes, we have a higher level of accountability, but we don't own any of this. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's important that we're not just bossing people around, mistreating people. Let me give you an example. A number of years ago, it wasn't even in this church, but we had had a pretty good conference and we'd invited someone in. And this person, when they were doing ministry, just like we do here, and I'm so grateful for particularly you men who come up and help when the Spirit's moving and you're helping catch people and all the different things that can be going on. But we had a situation like that, and that night, Spirit was moving. But this person was just ripping into our servers. I mean, like, barking at them and just commanding them. And it wasn't like, hey, brother, would you help with this right here? It wasn't anything like that. Am I telling the truth, Mickey? It was harsh. And it was like, my goodness, I'm glad I don't have to live with that person. I mean, just mean, rude. And they'd pray for somebody real sweet and just be, you know. And this all happened, and it didn't go on and on and on because it didn't last that long, the altar time. But you know what? We talked that night, and that person will never be invited back. Hallelujah. Unless we hear there's been some kind of, because we don't want our people to be treated that way. That's not the way you treat people. You treat people with respect and honor, even when you disagree. It's not like what's going on out there in culture. No, we have the mind of Christ. And now Jesus could get in people's grill, righteously so. And particularly when it was religious people that were getting between God and them, between the people that were wanting to learn from Jesus, they were trying to stop that. He was dealing with the devil at that point. Well, that wouldn't happen that night. These were people that taken off work early and had already worked hard all day, and they were there willing to serve in the altar and help people instead of standing and getting ministry. They were helping other people. And to treat them rude, that is out of bounds. I'm sorry. And we didn't do anything publicly because we didn't want to embarrass our guests. But anyway, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. That's the reason each servant answers to their own master. We will be accountable to Jesus. Time is the friend of truth. If somebody's mistreated you and there's been this big thing, you do what's right, you be right, you pray for them, you bless them, that God's grace would come and help them to do right and be right. But know that time ultimately is on your side. Eternity, if not before, will reveal the matter. Last thing, and this one's really important. Don't celebrate someone else's pain. Proverbs 24:17, do not rejoice when your enemy falls. And do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and it displease him and he turn away his wrath from him. Which means when somebody's even being judged by the Lord, and everybody knows this is the judgment of the Lord, you have to be careful with that. That could be another truth. But he'll turn away his wrath. And Jesus taught us, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. This is counterintuitive to our human nature. But it is the Word of God. Neither you nor I have been credentialed to change what Jesus said. We haven't grown smarter than he is, have more wisdom than he does. So we're just left with needing to obey this, as hard as it may be at times. Now when he's saying when your enemy falls, he's not talking about the spirit realm. Celebrate all you want to when the devil goes down. It was some scheme of the devil. That goes right along with Jesus said you can crush his head under your foot. All right? You can trample all the power of the enemy under your feet. You celebrate that. But when it comes to the human side and how you're responding to people, the higher law. Love God, love others as you love yourself. You mean I can't even have just a little glee in my eye? You know what you can do? You can rejoice that the Lord has vindicated you in some matter. You can do that without celebrating the pain someone else is going through. Because when it comes to the fact of whose sin nailed Jesus to the cross, there's only one line and everybody's in it. And that's the teaching of Scripture. We forgive because when the time came and we asked God through His Son Jesus Christ to forgive us, He did it. And Jesus said, when we're merciful to others, and usually mercy is issued to people who can be found guilty, who shouldn't get what you're giving them. And when we do that, then we posture our lives to receive mercy. Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Not getting a whole lot of amens tonight, but this is the truth of God's Word. Do not celebrate someone else's pain. Yeah, but you don't know what they did to me. I bet that really hurt you, didn't it? And so now you're getting to hurt them back? That's a whole lot like vengeance. And the Scripture is very clear more than once. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And that tethers right into that Scripture out of Proverbs. I'm the one that releases judgment. I'm the one that takes care of wrath. And if you're celebrating the judgment I'm bringing on somebody, I'm liable just to pull it back because of what it's causing to happen in your life. It tests our maturity. And I don't want to come across as too strong on this. Listen, I think we can all understand where sometimes we have momentary lapses. I'm talking about the overall posture and picture of how you're responding. That doesn't mean you might not have an hour or two or a day or two that you're really struggling, but at the end of the struggle, you're able to lay at the foot of Jesus, leave it in His hands, and rejoice that He's been faithful to you, even though someone else may not have been. You can rejoice that He is your healer, although it may have been someone else that hurt you so deeply. You can stay vertical and get what you need to look at that situation and not become like the person who hurt you. Don't celebrate someone else's pain. Lord, we thank You for the simplicity yet the power of Your Word. And each one of these things I've covered tonight, I know I have to say that I failed at some point in time and more than once on some of them. But I'm acknowledging, and I believe speaking on behalf of our fellowship here tonight, we're acknowledging that this is what Your Word says. So we want to adjust to what Your Word says instead of somehow trying to bend Your Word to fit what we want to feel. Forgive us when we do that, Lord. Holy Spirit, just nudge us, convict us, help us to be sensitive and toe the line, get back where we need to be. You are so faithful. God, You're doing things in our midst. You are maturing us. You're challenging us. You're changing us. And the stretching is good, Lord. It means we're pregnant and something bigger, bolder, and better is going to be birthed. Help us, Lord, to stay humble so that we can learn and grow. Help us to treat each other the way that we would desire to be treated. Help us to love with Your love, to be patient, to be kind, to be gentle. And Lord, when we color outside the lines with some of our emotions or some of our words or actions, help us to do the right thing. And Lord, I know I'm the pastor here tonight, but I'll just confess it publicly. We're a mess if You're not involved in it. We just make a mess of things without Your help.
And I don't mean that with any false modesty or anything. It's just the truth. Without you, Lord Jesus, we can do nothing. But thank you that you're changing us. You're transforming us from glory to glory, strength to strength, and faith to faith. I want you just to meditate for a few moments as our worship team comes and we have some music playing and as our prayer team members come forward. Perhaps there's a need tonight to tweak some things, to adjust some things, some attitudes, some things going on in your thought life or some habits or a burden you're bearing. It's so many different things, but whatever Holy Spirit might be saying to you tonight that you need to respond to, just do that. You can do it right where you are. You can come and bow at one of these, kneel at one of these altar benches, and you and the Lord can have some time. Or if you need someone to pray with you, we have brothers and sisters that are coming now. I need some of you to come and just be here for those who may need prayer. Holy Spirit, have your way. Lord Jesus, love on your people tonight. Would you stand with me, please? Make your way to the front if you need prayer. Spend some time meditating on what the Spirit may be saying to you, and just do what He tells you to do. Lord, thanks for this time we've had together tonight. We bless you. Keep folks safe on these wet roads. We pray, Lord, tonight for our nation. Pray for the leaders of our nation. Lord, we are encouraged by a number of things that's going on. Lord, bring all those home that have been held hostage. Lord, bless those who are struggling economically in our nation by giving wisdom for the inflation to go down, for the job market to open up, for wages to rise. Lord, we pray for the sons of Issachar to surround our president, those who are wise concerning the times and what our nation should do. And Lord, tonight, a couple of times you brought to my heart just people who are in prison, And we pray for prisoners across our nation particularly. We pray first of all for those who have never given their life to Christ, that through those involved in prison ministry that they would see a great harvest of souls. For those prisoners who've come to know you and who are discipling others, God, protect them, strengthen them, give them wisdom. May there be a glorious revival in our nation's prisons. May that light shine brightly in these places of darkness. Bless those who serve. We pray for all of our law enforcement and fire department personnel, EMT personnel across this area, that you would protect them, that you would protect them from harm, that you'd give them wisdom. We continue to ask, Lord, that these drug houses would be exposed, that you would bring these things into the light, and that you would protect those agents and officers that are involved in bringing these things to justice. And, oh God, tonight, stop this human trafficking. We pray, oh God, this scourge that's global in its scope. We pray for it in our area, Lord, that anyone involved in human trafficking would be brought to justice, that be brought into the light, that those that are being held against their will or those that have been induced with drugs and enslaved that way, God, we pray they would be rescued. Help those on the front line of this battle. And we are grateful tonight. We can declare, if God be for you, who can be against you? And I remind you, church, you are the church of the living God. You are the agency by which the kingdom of God is expanded. And you have the promise of our Savior that the gates of hell will not prevail against you as you go forth. May you go forth full of His love, full of His Spirit, surrounded by His angels, sharing the kingdom and making a difference in this world. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand tonight. He's worthy of it. Bless you. Share a howdy with someone before you go tonight, if you haven't already. Hey, one more moment. Mark and Robin, we prayed for them after the service Sunday. Are you guys for sure leaving out Friday? We love Mark and Robin, and we speak blessing over you. Go with the blessing of this house. Amen.